You're listening to Wikisleep Podcast, a podcast designed to help you relax and unwind through calm, quiet storytelling. I'm your host, Adrian Sala. Our goal is to never interrupt a story with advertising because it's distracting and it interrupts your relaxation. So we remain ad-free. If you'd like to support us or others in getting a better sleep, visit wikisleeppodcast.com. Today's episode, Frankenstein. Frankenstein, otherwise known as the modern Prometheus, is a novel written by English author Mary Shelley, who lived from 1797 to 1851. It tells the story of Victor Frankenstein, a young scientist who creates a hideous, sapient creature in an unorthodox scientific experiment. Shelley started writing the story when she was 18, and the first edition of the novel was published anonymously in London on the 1st of January, 1818, when she was 20. Her name appeared on the second edition, which was published in 1823. Since the novel's publication, the name Frankenstein has often been mistakenly used to refer to the monster itself. In the novel, Frankenstein's creation is identified by words such as creature, monster, demon, wretch, fiend, and it. Frankenstein is written in the form of a frame story, one that starts with documenting a fictional correspondence between Captain Robert Walton and his sister, Margaret Walton Saville. Walton is a failed writer and captain who sets out to explore the North Pole and expand his scientific knowledge in hopes of achieving fame. During the voyage, the crew spots a dog sled driven by a gigantic figure. A few hours later, the crew rescues a nearly frozen and emaciated man named Victor Frankenstein, who has been in pursuit of the same gigantic man observed by Walton's crew. Frankenstein starts to recover from his exertion. He sees in Walton the same obsession that has destroyed him and recounts a story of his life's miseries to Walton as a warning. The recounted story serves as the frame for Frankenstein's narrative. Victor begins by telling of his childhood. Born in Naples, Italy, into a wealthy Genevan family, Victor and his brothers, Ernest and William, all three being sons of Alphonse Frankenstein by the former Caroline Beaufort, are encouraged to seek a greater understanding of the world through chemistry. As a young boy, Victor is obsessed with studying outdated theories that focus on stimulating natural wonders. When Victor is 5 years old, his parents adopt Elizabeth Lavenza, the orphaned daughter of an expropriated Italian nobleman, with whom Victor, allegedly, later falls in love. During this period, Victor's parents, Alphonse and Caroline, take in yet another orphan, Justine Moritz, who becomes William's nanny. Weeks before he leaves for university in Germany, his mother dies of scarlet fever. Victor buries himself in his experiments to deal with the grief. At the university, he excels at chemistry and other sciences, soon developing a secret technique to impart life to non-living matter. Eventually, he undertakes the creation of a humanoid, but due to the difficulty in replicating the minute parts of the human body, Victor makes the creature tall, about 8 feet, and proportionately large. Despite Victor selecting its features as beautiful, upon animation the creature is instead hideous, with watery white eyes and yellow skin that barely conceals the muscles and blood vessels underneath. Repulsed by his work, Victor flees when it awakens. While wandering the streets, he meets his childhood friend Henry Clerville and takes Henry back to his apartment, fearful of Henry's reaction if he sees the monster. However, the creature has escaped. Victor falls ill from the experience and is nursed back to health by Henry. After a four-month recovery, he receives a letter from his father notifying him of the murder of his brother William. Upon arriving in Geneva, Victor sees the creature near the crime scene, climbing a mountain, leading him to believe his creation is responsible. Justine Moritz, William's nanny, is convicted of the crime after William's locket is found in her pocket. Victor is helpless to stop her from being hanged, as he knows no one would believe his story. Ravaged by grief and guilt, Victor retreats into the mountains. The creature finds him and pleads for Victor to hear his tale. Intelligent and articulate, the creature relates his first days of life, living alone in the wilderness and finding that people were afraid of and hated him due to his appearance, which led him to fear and hide from them. While living in an abandoned structure connected to a cottage, he grew fond of the poor family living there and discreetly collected firewood for them. Secretly living among the family for months, the creature learned to speak by listening to them, and he taught himself to read after discovering a lost satchel of books in the woods. When he saw his reflection in a pool, he realized his physical appearance was hideous, and it terrified him as it terrifies normal humans. Nevertheless, he approached the family in hopes of becoming their friend. Initially, he was able to befriend the blind father figure of the family. But the rest of them were frightened and they all fled their home, resulting in the creature leaving, disappointed. He traveled to Victor's family estate using details from Victor's journal, murdered William, and framed Justine. The creature demands that Victor create a female companion like himself. He argues that as a living being, he has a right to happiness. The creature promises that he and his mate will vanish into the South American wilderness, never to reappear, if Victor grants his request. Should Victor refuse his request, the creature also threatens to kill Victor's remaining friends and loved ones and not stop until he completely ruins him. Fearing for his family, Victor reluctantly agrees. Henry Clerville accompanies Victor to England, but they separated Victor's assistants at Perth, Scotland, as Victor suspects that the creature is following him. Working on the female creature in the Orkney Islands, he is plagued by premonitions of disaster, such as the female hating the creature or becoming more evil than him, but more particularly, the two creatures might lead to the breeding of a race that could plague mankind. He tears apart the unfinished female creature after he sees his own creature, who had indeed followed him, watching through a window. The creature later confronts and tries to threaten Victor into working again, but Victor is convinced that the creature is evil and that its mate will be evil as well, and the pair would threaten all humanity. Victor destroys his work and the creature vows that he will, in quotes, be with him on his wedding night. Victor interprets this as a threat upon his life, believing that the creature will kill him after he finally becomes happy. When Victor lands in Ireland, he is soon imprisoned for Clerville's murder. As the creature has strangled Clerville to death and left the corpse to be found where his crater had arrived, causing the latter to suffer a mental breakdown in prison. After being acquitted, Victor returns home with his father, who has restored Elizabeth to some of her father's fortune. In Geneva, Victor is about to marry Elizabeth and prepares to fight the creature to the death, arming himself with pistols and a dagger. The night following their wedding, Victor asks Elizabeth to stay in her room while he looks for the fiend. While Victor searches the house and grounds, the creature strangles Elizabeth to death. From the window, Victor sees the creature, who tauntingly points at Elizabeth's corpse. Victor tries to shoot him, but the creature escapes. After Victor gets back to Geneva, his father, weakened by age and by the death of his precious Elizabeth, dies a few days later. Seeking revenge, Victor pursues the creature to the North Pole, but collapses from exhaustion and hypothermia before he can find his quarry. At the end of Victor's story, Captain Walton resumes the telling of the narrative, closing the frame around Victor's recounting. A few days after the creature vanished, the ship became trapped in pack ice, and multiple crewmen died in the cold, before the rest of Walton's crew insists on returning south once it is freed. Upon hearing the crew's pleas to their captain, Victor, angered, lectures them with a powerful speech, saying it is hardship, not comfort and easiness, that defines a glorious undertaking such as theirs. He urges them to be men, not cowards. The ship is freed and Walton, owing it to the will of his men, albeit regretfully, decides to return south. Victor, even though in very weak condition, states that he will go on by himself. Victor dies shortly thereafter, telling Walton with his last words to seek happiness and tranquility and avoid ambition. Walton discovers the creature on his ship, mourning over Victor's body. The creature tells Walton that Victor's death has not brought him peace. Rather, his crimes have left him completely alone. The creature vows to kill himself so that no others will ever know of his existence. Walton watches as the creature drifts away on an ice raft that is soon lost in darkness and distance, never to be seen again. Mary Shelley had a tragic life from the beginning. Shelley's mother, Mary Wollstonecraft, died from infection shortly after giving birth to her. Shelley grew a close attachment to her father, having never known her mother. Her father, William Goodwin, hired a nurse briefly to take care of her and her half-sister before he ended up remarrying. Shelley's stepmother did not like the close bond she had with her father, which caused friction and Godwin to then favor his other two daughters and sons. Her father was a famous author of the time, and her education was of great importance, though not formal. Shelley grew up surrounded by her father's friends, writers, and persons of political importance that gathered often at the family home. This inspired her authorship at an early age. Shelley met Percy Bysshe Shelley, who later became her husband, at the age of 16 while he was visiting with her father. Godwin did not agree with the relationship of his daughter to an older, married but separated man, so they fled to France along with her stepsister, Claire Clairmont. Later, Shelley gave birth and lost their first child. Over 8 years, she would endure a similar pattern of pregnancy and loss. Percy and Mary Shelley, along with Claire Clairmont, took a trip to visit Clairmont's lover, Lord Byron, in Geneva during the summer of 1816. and began a friendship amongst the two couples in which Byron suggested they have a competition of writing the best ghost story. Mary was 18 years old when she won the contest for her creation of Frankenstein. She was heavily influenced by both of her parents' works. Her father was famous for inquiry concerning political justice, and her mother famous for a vindication of the rights of women. Her father's novels included Things as They Are, The Adventures of Caleb Williams, St. Leon, and Fleetwood. All of these books were set in Switzerland, similar to the setting in Frankenstein. Some major themes and the renewal of life that appear in Shelley's novel stem from these works she had in her possession. Percy and Byron's discussion on life and death surrounded many significant geniuses of the time. They discussed ideas from Erasmus Darwin and the experiments of Luigi Galvani. Mary joined these conversations, and the ideas of Darwin and Galvani were both present in her novel. The horrors of not being able to write a story for the contest and her hard life also influenced the themes within Frankenstein. The themes of loss, guilt, and the consequences of defying nature present in the novel all developed from Mary Shelley's own life. The loss of her mother, the relationship with her father, and the death of her first child create the monster and his separation from parental guidance. During the rainy summer of 1816, known as the Year Without a Summer, the world was locked in a long, cold, volcanic winter caused by the eruption of Mount Tambora in 1815. The weather was consistently too cold and dreary that summer to enjoy outdoor holiday activities, so the group retired indoors until dawn. Sitting around a log fire at Byron's villa, the company amused themselves by reading German ghost stories, translated into French from the book Phantasmagoria. Then Byron proposed that they each write the ghost stories. During one evening, in the middle of summer, the discussions turned to the nature of the principle of life. Perhaps a corpse would be reanimated, Mary noted. Galvanism had given token of such things. She wrote, "I saw the pale student of unhallowed arts kneeling beside the thing he had put together. I saw the hideous phantasm of a man stretched out and then, on the working of some powerful engine, show signs of life and stir with an uneasy, half-vital motion. Frightful must it be, for supremely frightful would be the effect of any human endeavor to mock the stupendous mechanism of the creator of the world." She began writing what she assumed would be a short story. With Percy Shelley's encouragement, she expanded the tale into a full-fledged novel. She later described that summer in Switzerland as the moment when I first stepped out from childhood into life. Shelley wrote the first four chapters in the weeks following the suicide of her half-sister Fanny. This was one of many personal tragedies that impacted Shelley's work. Shelley's first child died in infancy, and when she began composing Frankenstein in 1816, she was likely nursing her second child, who would also be dead at Frankenstein's publication. Byron managed to write just a fragment based on the vampire legends he heard while traveling in the Balkans. And from this, John Polidori created The Vampire in 1819, the precursor that would lead to the romantic vampire literary genre. Shelley's manuscripts for the first three-volume edition in 1818, as well as the fair copy for her publisher, are now housed in the Bodleian Library in Oxford. In 2008, the library published a new edition of Frankenstein, edited by Charles E. Robinson, that contains comparisons of Mary Shelley's original text with Percy Shelley's additions and interventions alongside. Frankenstein, or The Modern Prometheus, was published on January 1, 1818, by the small London publishing house Lackington, Hughes, Harding, Maver, and Jones. It was issued anonymously in an edition of just 500 copies in three volumes, the standard triple-decker format for the 19th century first editions. The second edition of Frankenstein was published on August 11th, 1823, in two volumes. This edition credited Mary Shelley as the book's author on its title page. On the 31st of October, 1831, the first popular edition in one volume appeared, published by Henry Colburn and Richard Bentley. This edition was heavily revised by Mary Shelley, partially to make the story less radical. It included a lengthy new preface by the author, presenting a somewhat embellished version of the genesis of the story. This edition is the one most widely published and read now, although a few editions follow the 1818 text. Some scholars prefer the original version, arguing that it preserves the spirit of Mary Shelley's vision. Mary Shelley maintained that she derived the name Frankenstein from a dream vision. Despite her public claims of originality, however, a number of other sources have been suggested as Shelley's actual inspiration. The German name Frankenstein means Stone of the Franks and is associated with various places in Germany, including no less than two Frankenstein castles. Radu Florescu argues that Mary and Percy Shelley visited Frankenstein Castle near Darmstadt in 1814. It was at this castle that a notorious alchemist, Conrad Dippel, had experimented with human bodies. And Florescu reasons that Mary suppressed mention of her visit in order to maintain her public claim of originality. A possible interpretation of the name Victor is derived from Paradise Lost by John Milton, a great influence on Shelley. A quotation from Paradise Lost is on the opening page of Frankenstein, and Shelley even has the monster himself read it. Milton frequently refers to God as the Victor in Paradise Lost, and Shelley sees Victor as playing God by creating life. In addition, Shelley's portrayal of the monster owes much to the character of Satan in Paradise Lost. Indeed, the monster says, after reading the epic poem, that he emphasizes with Satan's role in the story. There is speculation that one of Mary Shelley's models for Victor Frankenstein was Percy. Victor was a pen name of Percy Shelley's. Percy had a sister named Elizabeth. Victor had an adopted sister named Elizabeth. On the 22nd of February, 1815, Mary Shelley gave birth to a baby 2 months prematurely, and the baby died 2 weeks later. Percy did not care about the condition of this premature infant and left with Claire, Mary's stepsister, for a lurid affair. When Victor saw the creature come to life, he fled the apartment, though the newborn creature approached him as a child would a parent. The subtitle for the novel is The Modern Prometheus. Prometheus, in later versions of Greek mythology, was the titan who created mankind at the behest of Zeus. He made a being in the image of the gods that could have a spirit breathed into it. Prometheus taught man to hunt, read, and heal their sick, but after he tricked Zeus into accepting poor quality offerings from humans, Zeus kept fire from mankind. Prometheus, being the creator, took back the fire from Zeus to give to man. When Zeus discovered this, he sentenced Prometheus to be eternally punished by fixing him to a rock of Caucasus, where each day an eagle would peck out his liver, only for the liver to regrow the next day because of his mortality as a god. He was intended to suffer alone for eternity, but eventually Hercules released him. Frankenstein has been both well-received and disregarded since its anonymous publication in 1818. Critical reviews of that time demonstrate these two views, along with confused speculation as to the identity of the author. The Belle Assemblée described the novel as very bold fiction. Sir Walter Scott congratulated the author's original genius and happy power of expression, although he is less convinced about the way in which the monster gains knowledge about the world and language. The Edinburgh Magazine and Literary Miscellany hope to see more productions from this author. On the other hand, the Quarterly Review described it as a tissue of horrible and disgusting absurdity. Critical reception of Frankenstein has been largely positive since the mid-20th century. Major critics, such as M.A. Goldberg and Harold Bloom, have praised the aesthetic and moral relevance of the novel. The novel today is generally considered to be a landmark work of Romantic and Gothic literature, as well as science fiction. Film director Guillermo del Toro describes Frankenstein as the quintessential teenage book, saying, "You don't belong. You were brought to this world by people that don't care for you, and you were thrown into a world of pain and suffering, and tears and hunger. It's an amazing book written by a teenage girl. It is mind-blowing." Professor of philosophy Patricia McCormick says the creature, brought to life by Victor Frankenstein, addresses the most fundamental human questions. It's the idea of asking your maker, what is your purpose? Why are we here? What can we do?